Welcome to Prison, the Hidden Sentence, raising awareness and providing education and insights for individuals and families with incarcerated loved ones, educating and empowering through personal stories of those affected by and involved with our prison population.
Hi, this is Julia from Prison, the Hidden Sentence. My brother was in prison for 15 years, and during that time, I learned a lot about the prison system, but there were still a lot of things that I didn't know. My hope is that the stories and information provided in these podcasts and in our blog provide support to those of you who have a loved one in prison, as well as raise awareness to how it affects friends, family, and society. Today I'm here with Yvonne, and her story begins when she was a young girl and continues to present day. Her father was a career criminal and in and out of prison for over 40 years, but no matter what happened, she was there for him. They share a strong father-daughter bond that many would not be able to endure based on the trials and tribulations of their relationship. Her story shows the strength and fortitude of a child who grows into a strong woman. She learned how to set boundaries, and no matter what, she always took the high road. She has triumphed and has a beautiful family and a productive life. She continues to help others, which is part of her core values. Yvonne's parents were in prison, and she wanted to share her story with you. Yvonne, when you and I were talking about a lot of the things you went through, one of the things I asked you is, how did you find out that your father was in prison, and what was it like visiting him when you were so young?
I was very young when I was first taken to visit my father in prison. I can remember being about 5 or 6 years old and my mother taking us to a place that she described as a hospital for my father. I noticed there was all men there and other men were visiting their families or seemed to have visitors. All the men that lived there were dressed in the same blue jean type of clothing, dark blue jean pants, a dark blue jean jacket, and a light blue shirt. And we just visited for a little while and then we left. And I would say we went every few years whenever my dad was incarcerated. And so as we got older and I could read the signs as we were pulling into the parking lot, I remember reading some words that said State Correctional Facility. So I asked my mother a little bit about that and she said, oh, he just has to be here for a little while. And then fast forward another few years and I remember going in and visiting my dad again with my brother and my sisters, my younger sisters. And at that point, we kind of knew that this was someplace he had to be and he was forced to be there. It was not a hospital.
Well, how many years have passed that you said that when you first went to visit him, you were about 5 years old, and then you said that you went every couple of years. So it seems right to me that he kept going back. Was it every year he went back, or how often?
Right. He was going back probably every 3 years or so, and it wasn't until I was a teenager that my mother, I remember we were working together. I was at her job for the summer, and we were working together in the office, and she told me in the office that my father was in jail again, and she had been trying to mask it, or she waited until she found out what his sentence was, because if it was short term she wouldn't have needed to tell me, but if it was long term she felt she should tell me. So I think I was in 10th grade and she just came right out. She was embarrassed and she just came right out and told me. I was the only one in the office at the time. My brother wasn't there, my younger sisters weren't there. So yeah, she was very embarrassed.
So when you were younger and you went to visit your dad, as far as, you know, going to school and playing with your friends and neighbors, did anybody ever say anything to you?
No one ever said anything to me. We didn't really discuss it outside of the house or our immediate neighbors across the street that knew he was gone. My mother was very close to our neighbor and I was close to her daughter. And so that family knew and that was about it. My older sister knew and I think my dad's children from his first marriage, my older half-sisters knew. But no one ever made any sideway comments. No one really knew from school.
So you said that you realized that it was a prison when you were able to read. Do you remember how you felt when you first saw that?
When I first saw it, it didn't really have much meaning to me because I didn't understand the context of what it was. You know, what does that mean, a state correctional facility? Except that I sensed very strongly he had to be there. It wasn't by his choice. and that the other men had to be there. So that felt a little strange, like he must have done something to get put in here. And I resented being in the long lines out in the heat with the flies and all the dust and other people that wanted to go in and see their family members or friends. But I remember growing very weary of it, and I resented having to go after a while.
So what was he nearby, or how did you go visit him?
Well, depending on what the sentence was and where he was assigned, it could... The average ride was about an hour away at a facility kind of out in the rural areas. And then there were two times he was transferred about 6 hours away to an institution. And that was just too much. That was just too much.
So when he was further away, you didn't see him as much?
Oh, no. I only went one time, and my mother went the next time by herself. I didn't want to go again after the first time with that long, being that in the car that long with our siblings. It was just, it felt like a punishment for us, because we had to drive that far to go and visit him. And I felt if he wanted to see us, he should be home.
So you did feel some resentment?
Oh, yes. I started to feel the resentment of us having to travel so long, taking up our weekend to go and visit him.
Yeah. So when you did drive up to the prison, what did you see? Was it a scary experience going there? Were you ever afraid when you were inside?
Yes, that became apparent. Depending on the facility, you definitely get an introduction as you're driving up to park, that you see enclosures, you see the barbed wire, a tower with a guard in it, and you start to put the pieces together. Okay, this is pretty serious, a very serious environment. And as I got older into my teen years, I really started to resent going, because I felt that the other men were looking at us as we'd walk in. If you were a female, they were looking at you, and I felt that very strongly. So I didn't like it. I didn't like that. Just all those eyes being on me, you felt a little bit like the men were undressing you with their eyes. And I made a decision at that point that I wasn't going to continue to go back.
Were you still going with your mother there, or did you ever visit him alone?
No, I always went with my mother. I never visited him alone.
So at what age did you decide that you were setting your boundaries and deciding that you were just going to see him when he got out?
About 18.
And then after that, did he go back anymore?
He did. He went back another several years after that. I didn't go visit him. I told him I wouldn't. I would take his phone calls, but I would not go back and subject myself to that. And I just told him that if he wanted to be with his family and see us and visit us and find out what's going on in our lives, he needed to make sure he didn't do whatever he was doing to be arrested and confined. So he didn't like that very much, but he understood.
You know, going back to when you were a child, what, when you were visiting, was there games or anything to read, or what did you do when you were in there? How did you spend your time?
Right. As a little child, I remember just having very limited resources to do anything with, so it got boring for us. And then eventually my mom would bring some crayons or coloring paper, or I'd play with my brother. It just was not a real fun place for kids to be. And the conversation only lasts a few minutes with my dad, so the rest of the conversation was taken up spending time with my mom, is what my dad would do. So it was not a fun environment for children to have to go to. It was just not, just wasn't homey, and it wasn't, if you really have a lot to talk to someone about, then it was a better experience. But my dad wasn't the friendly, chummy, let me get to know you kind of guy. He mainly just wanted to talk to my mom, so that was boring.
Yeah, I just want to make a note that when you went, that you could bring, you know, coloring books and crayons, that now you can't do that. And I just wanted to make another note that some of the prisons now do have that coloring books and games for the kids, which is nice.
Yes, that's great.
And,
that's...
you know, in your experience, not being told when you were young and then kind of finding out on your own, how do you think would have been a good way for your mom to have handled that for you?
I think that she shouldn't have tried to mask it as a hospital. That, I guess that was the best explanation she could have come up with. But, and I can't remember the time frames from when I was really little, exactly how long he was gone. I'm really not sure. But I think that certainly by age 12, 10 to 12, when understanding, mental capacity is there for a child to understand and really grasp, okay, well, Dad did something wrong and he has to stay here and pay his dues to society and serve out his sentence, then just be straightforward with it. Because after that, after I found out really what was going on and I could clearly see it was a pattern, there was a bit of a disengagement that happened, because he became this person in our family that I knew. I didn't really relate to him as my father. He was just, I could just talk about him so plainly because I didn't really feel he was so close to our family that it was hurtful. So it became easier and easier, and it felt good to just be able to talk about it right out in the open. And my mother felt better as well. She accepted that, and we were very frank after I finally was really aware of what was going on.
So was it difficult not having a male role model while you were growing up?
It was a little bit difficult, but at the same time, when he was there, he was hostile, he was abusive. There were times that things were fun, and if things were going well for him, the whole family felt that wake of his joy and his happiness. But if things were not going his way, we felt that too. So most of the time, we were happier when he was gone. It was always a nice break.
Well, you now have a beautiful family of your own. And how did you tell the girls about their grandfather?
Well, I would say that by age 10 or so, they understood that they knew my dad. He would be over for different holidays, and we'd go see him, visit him briefly at his house. Our girls never spent the night at his house. They were never babysat by him. There were only visits when I was there or Terry was there. But we would just explain to him that he really wasn't around a lot when we were kids, and as we kind of laid the foundation with that, and then as they got older, we started explaining to them some of the things that he would do. The most obvious thing was, because he married so often, he had 5 Chinese wives after his divorce from my mother. So our kids noticed that he had an awful high turnover with girlfriends and wives. And that was another kind of lead-in to, well, yes, he has, you know, been married a number of times, and he's done different things, and he was abusive with a few of his Chinese wives, and he would go to jail, and he'd call me from jail, so our girls would hear those conversations when he'd call me, collect, and I just let them know this wasn't the first time that this has happened. So it was sort of a pattern for him. It was his way of life.
And you said that you did draw the line when you were a teenager that you weren't going to visit him. So when he did call you, what kind of support did you give?
Well, I did talk to him since I wasn't going to visit him. I actually visited him one time when he got released to go live at a halfway house. It was down in downtown LA, and so it was close, and it was a very short visit, and that was fine. I was supporting him that he was transitioning out and would be back home, and was hopeful. I would just tell him I was hopeful that he would be able to get back to work and reestablish his life, and then he would just sort of take it from there. We were always, at least my relationship with him was probably closer than any of the other kids, because at least I did touch base with him, I did support him and was encouraging, but I wouldn't let him pull me down or pull me into his drama, or if it didn't work out, then that was okay too. It's whatever he wanted to do, but he knew I did care about what happened to him, and that made a big difference. He always did appreciate at least taking the phone calls, if not coming to see him. At least he felt some kind of contact with family.
Well, Yvonne, I need to commend you in keeping up the relationship with your father, and I'm sure he really appreciates it. And just so everybody knows, that the story doesn't end here. Not only was Yvonne's father incarcerated, but her mother was too. And when her mother went to prison, Yvonne became the family matriarch. She kept the family together while she was going to school and working. Yvonne continued to show her strength and fortitude in dealing with issues that most young adults don't even need to deal with typically. She really stepped up, you know, continuing to take the high road and doing what was right for herself and her family. So go to Yvonne's story part 2 to learn more about how she handled having another parent in prison, how she handled, you know, what her father was going through when he wasn't in prison, and more interesting information about the family.
You can hear more stories or share your story at prisonthehiddensentence.com. And follow us at Hidden Sentence on Facebook and Twitter. We are Prison, The Hidden Sentence, raising awareness one story at a time.